This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Welcome back. This is episode number 21 of the Until the Whistle podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Myers. I'm recording this on Tuesday, March 19th. Didn't record last week. Honestly, there hadn't been a whole lot to talk about in the way of Texas football and that kind of thing. So figured I'd do something pretty different tonight. So I'd have a guest with me here. It's one of my best friends, Natasha Hastings. So welcome.
Hi.
This is kind of weird for me because I'm looking at her bio here because I feel like I need to tell everybody like who she is for those of you that don't already know. But like, you're just the homie. But
just the homie.
You have a lot of accolades behind you. So I'm going to read like straight off your bio here. Natasha Hastings is an Olympic. I'm awkward, so that's okay. Natasha Hastings is an Olympic, world, and U.S. national champion track and field sprinter. She specializes in the 400 and 4x400 meter relay and was born and raised in New York. Okay, a lot of this stuff I did know. Went to South Carolina. We can get into that. Won the indoor and outdoor NCAA championships while at South Carolina your junior year. And then you went pro after that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then have made, okay, so how many, it doesn't list this like readily available. How many Olympic teams have you been a part of?
Two.
So two Olympic teams and then how many world championships?
I don't know.
You're supposed to know these things.
I know. Hold on. 7, 9, 11, 6.
Six. Okay. So, wow, that's a lot. So, long story short, like she's a badass when it comes to track and field. And most people, make the mistake of assuming that track and field is just every 4 years.
Yeah.
But that's something that's basically it's like a year-round thing for you, right?
Pretty much. I get 6 weeks out of the year off.
6 weeks?
That's it.
Why do I always feel like it's longer?
Well, you feel like it's longer because I'm training in the off season and I'm not like competitively traveling.
So you're off like the end of September, October
through to November. Yeah. But then in November we start training.
Sorry, Natasha.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry.
Look.
Okay. So typically we're off from November. I'm sorry. Typically, we're off from mid-September through November.
Okay.
And then we start training in November. And if you run the indoor season, you'll start competing in January, mid-January, late January.
Okay.
If you don't run indoors, you'd probably start, like, April-ish.
Okay.
And then, of course, the season then goes through to September. But this year, the season's a little different because World Championships is in October.
Right. Okay. Wait. Oh, so that's a lot later than it typically is.
A lot later than usual. Yes.
Right. Okay. And where is it this year?
In Doha.
Doha. So it'll be real hot.
Hot. That's why it's in October, because the season's in Doha.
Okay. Okay, cool. So I didn't really have a plan for what we're going to talk about, so we're just going to like skip around here.
We just going to wing it?
Yeah. Okay, so I've known you for, it's 2019, it was like 15 years now?
When did we meet? Like 06, 07?
Okay, so maybe 13? I feel like, for some reason, I feel like it was your junior year.
It might have been somewhere in there.
What was your junior? You're only a year.
Yeah, it was my junior year because that was the year that summer I came on the circuit.
Yeah. So. And then, that was like 07.
Yeah.
Okay, so 12. Okay, 12 years. It feels like it's longer than that. I don't know.
Wow,
but,
that's how you feel about our friendship?
No, I don't mean it like that. I'm okay. Just saying it feels like I've known you forever.
Okay.
So it just, I don't know. But I'm trying. yeah, so, okay. So you went to USC.
Mm-hmm.
I've never called South Carolina USC a day in my life. I just saw it here on your bio. Were y'all before?
Yeah, 1801.
Southern California? Oh, God. Okay. So really what I want to know is, why did you not go to Texas, and why are you always hating on Texas? But you live in Austin, and you've worked out at the University of Texas campus in your career.
All right. So this has been an ongoing thing in our friendship, like this rivalry, or I guess we can't even really call it a rivalry because we're not in the same conference.
Never happened.
Never have been. Don't play against each other, anything like that. But I did visit UT, you know that.
Right.
Along with a few other schools. I can't really say me not coming to Texas had anything to do with Texas more than I just always knew I was going to go to South Carolina. And that was because of the reputation that Coach Fry had as a quarter miler coach. And I knew that if I wanted to go beyond collegiate track, that I could possibly not only succeed with Coach Fry, but then also stay with him post-collegially as well. Now,
right.
Didn't necessarily work out that way.
Right.
But that was mainly the plan.
But you've moved around a little bit because you spent some time in California.
California, Florida.
I forgot you were in Florida.
Yeah. So when I went pro, I stayed in South Carolina to finish. The plan was to finish school.
Right.
But then it was an Olympic year. My agent, who was Michael Johnson at the time, wanted me, to take that year to focus on the Olympics, and then things got a little, I don't know. Coach Fry and I went our separate ways. Plans changed. So yeah. I moved to Florida for a year.
Okay.
And I trained with Lance Brahman down there. And then after that, I moved to LA where I did train with Bobby Kersey for a year. I ended up going back to South Carolina for a couple of years. And the way that that happened was.
When did I miss that?
Yeah. I don't know how you missed that because
I didn't know you went from LA back to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I did know
I
must
know,
have known. I just
we'll talk about it offline, but you just don't remember.
Okay, that's fair.
But I went back to South Carolina, and I originally went back just to finish my degree because I literally only had one semester left, and it was like that thing that was looming over my head, like, you got one semester, go
so
finish
you gotta
your
knock
degree.
This out.
Right. So I went back to finish my degree, and one day I was sitting in the library doing some work, and I text my mom, and I was like, don't say anything, but I don't think I want to go back to L.A. And my mom was like, okay. And a couple weeks went by, I had a conversation with Coach Fry, and I ended up going back for a couple of years, but I literally made the decision in the library while I was studying. Didn't even go back to LA for my things. Like, I mean, I had my things shipped back to me, but I just decided. And a big part of that decision, if I'm honest, was I am a mama's girl. My mom lives in Atlanta.
Right. So you were closer.
Yeah. It was tough being that far away from home.
Dang. I feel like a bad friend, but I think I remember what was going on in my world at that time.
Yes.
So I'm going to excuse myself.
All good. Yeah. I'll excuse you as well.
I'm going to excuse myself because I guess life was lifing for me too. And then, so when did you make your way to Austin? Because when you came to Austin, I wasn't in Austin yet. How long have you been in Austin now?
So no. I moved to Austin the day after Christmas 2011.
No, I was in Dallas then.
Yeah, so things weren't going so great at South Carolina.
Right.
And there were just some things from my performance to just some things going on off the track that it just wasn't a good situation for me training wise.
Yeah.
But I was sort of in a position where I felt like I'd picked up and moved literally three times. And every time you pick up and move, you literally start your life over.
Yeah.
And I was in a position where I was like, I knew I had to go. I knew I had to move. But right. It was like, where do I go? Like, where do I go from here? And then on top of that, I went to Lance Brahman and Bobby Kersey. So, like, if those coaches didn't work for me,
yeah,
where am I going to go, you know? So at the time, I had a different agent who had a relationship with my coach now. And he basically suggested that I give it a try, come down here. And I basically moved, and I moved with the notion that if this didn't work, I was going to go back to school and be a chiropractor. But I'm not doing the whole pick up and move thing again. Mm-hmm. And I've now been here 7 years.
I was just about to say, you said it was 2011?
Yeah, the day after Christmas. So I moved here for the 2012.
So it'll be eight in this coming Christmas. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that long. Is the longest stint you've been anywhere in your career.
In my career, yep.
Huh. So you're basically like an honorary Longhorn.
Not.
But you worked out in the gym.
Yeah, because I was training with some Gamecock alum.
He was a coach at the time, though. So, well, he's technically a Longhorn.
So I have to clear that up. The only reason why I was training at UT was because at the time, Charlie Strong is his name.
Yeah.
Charlie Strong was the head coach of the football team. And my strength coach, while I was at South Carolina, actually came down with him. And so when I heard that they moved down here, I like stalked Coach Moore because he kind of like curbed me for a while. And I literally had to go down there and be. I think I told one of the football players actually, like, hey, if you see Coach Moore,
tell him
to hit me up. Like, oh. I was that serious. And I probably rolled down there on him.
That's
and
fun.
Like made him coach me. Because I was training with another group here, and you know, being a quarter miler and then also my body type, like I can just look at the weights and I put size on.
Yeah.
And it's hard for people to understand that just because it's muscle doesn't mean it's good.
Like it has to be like the right muscle in the right place.
And I still have to carry that around the track. And so he just got me where he would make me strong without putting a whole bunch of bulk on me. And so that was how that happened. But I had to stalk Coach Moore, and we did train in the UT gym.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with that? Like, I feel like you always had, like, this shade for UT, and I don't understand that.
At this point, honestly, it's just been running so long that now it's just like...
It's like a running joke.
Yeah, I gotta keep on with it, like...
See, I feel like I have to, like, defend my UT-dom to, like, you and anybody else that didn't go to UT, because y'all always take shots at us.
I mean, but y'all take shots. I mean, as long as we've been friends, you've been taking shots at South Carolina.
I don't agree with that. You take way more shots.
I mean, I probably initiate it, and it's
so
like
that's not me taking a shot. That's retaliation.
But it's fine. Like, but truth be told, this is another thing that's crazy. I live in Austin. You're my best friend. A good portion of my friends went to UT. I don't know how that happened.
That's what I'm saying. So you might as well be an honorary Longhorn.
No, I'm good.
Okay. So you've been pro, how many years is that? 12 years? 11 mm-hmm. years? 12 years? It'll be 12 years this summer, right?
Yeah.
So is there like I know like in NFL, they call it like not for long. So is there a average professional track and field career?
I'm sure there is. I don't want to quote and say, like, but off the top of my head, average is probably like 4 to 5 years.
I was going to say, you've got to be past it.
Way past it. And the word professional in our sport is also one that's kind of like, what's the definition of that?
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Okay.
So, yeah. But agreeably so, I'm one of the few that is blessed to have been competing.
Well, that's what's so weird for me is, like, I don't know any of these kids' names now. And I'm literally calling them kids because that's how I look at them. Like,
same. I mean, I'm still in the game, and there's some of them that, like, first of all, they call me auntie.
I can see that.
Number one. Number two, I don't know a lot of these kids' names. I'm watching NCs. I'm watching, you know, I didn't compete last season with my knee. I don't know a lot of these people. But, I mean, and I can say... We saw, what do they call it? We were saying it the whole time in Rio. Where, like, in Rio, we could see the tides changing. Like,
oh, okay.
Oh, wow. There's less of us and more of them, right. You know? But, I mean, I guess every sport goes through those cycles.
Because, I mean, like, at this point, I think the only people I really recognize anymore is, like, you and Allison. And I don't know about the men's side, since Jeremy's not running anymore. I've just, like, lost track of everybody.
Yeah, the men's side of the quarter is definitely totally all new. Nobody from my generation is still there.
Yeah.
No, let me take that back. LaShawn
LeSean, he's still running?
Yeah, I don't think LeSean is retired. Interestingly enough, I didn't include this in my world championship count, but our world junior team, which was 2004, we probably had like the largest contingency since 2004 of like a junior team.
Okay.
That was like through the years and even now.
Okay. I could see that. Because I guess I could think back to like a lot of people from that time.
Yeah. So it's like me, LeSean, Aries, Michelle Carter,
Karan,
Clement. There's more.
There's a lot more. They're just all escaping. Yeah. Right now. Okay. All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
What else? What else can we talk about? Let's talk about some non-track stuff.
Okay.
What do you do off the track?
God, what do I do off the track?
What are your many, many different endeavors? I mean, so I'm on your foundation board. Mm-hmm. So we can talk a little bit about that. You have like several businesses I feel like are popping up all the time. So
just two.
But they are like recent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you consider me a social media influencer, I guess
that's
a business too.
That part's weird to me.
Yeah. This is probably the first time that I've defined myself as that or put that in there, but I guess it does kind of fall under the hat, the many hats that I wear. But I do have my foundation, the Natasha Hastings Foundation, that we're growing, building. Right.
And the goal of that is? I'll let you give the spiel.
Why you don't know our mission statement?
I may still need to memorize it fully.
All right. Well, at the Natasha Hastings Foundation, our mission is to be a starting block for girls to become women of confidence in sport and life. I'm over here looking at him. Trying to word it.
Because I was remembering it as you were saying it, and I was trying to, like, spit it out.
Whatever. Anyway, we are a registered 501c3. And to kind of make it a long story short, a lot of the organization was based upon what I felt like I was missing in my journey. So I've been running track since I was 9 years old. And although it's kind of track-centered, I will say, or we can agree that it's for all girls in sport. It's
right.
Not just track and field. But, you know, some of the things that I've learned through sport is, number one, self-love, accountability, determination, resilience, et cetera, et cetera. But then also the relationships that I've made through sport.
Right.
Going on to make world junior and world youth teams, high school nationals. So, you know, again, thinking about my journey, but the things that I missed along the way. So, self-love, I was in my 20s when I figured that out. Even though I was celebrated as this great athlete, you know, I still dealt with body image and, you know, how I felt about myself. And so having those conversations with young girls, and then the financial part of it, coming from a single-parent household, my parents were divorced, like, it's expensive to go to these track meets. Someone had to pay for me to go to Italy for World Juniors. Someone had to pay for me to go to Nationals.
And, damn, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean, when you make a national team, the national team does cover most of the expenses. But, you know, mom had to put a little money in my pocket.
Right.
She flew my coach there. She didn't come, but she made sure that my coach came. So providing, you know, some of those opportunities for young girls coming up now, you know, it's a way for me to give back and also make sure that, when retirement does come around, I'm continuing to give back and my legacy lives on in the sport.
Sure.
So to learn more about the Natasha Hastings Foundation, go ahead and head to nhfcares.org.
You did that nicely. Cue that up well.
Can you tell I'm a pro at this?
It was a good transition. Okay. And then, so this social media influencer thing, like, I have mixed feelings about influencers, period.
Okay, but, let's talk about it.
But you are one. And, like, I was looking on your website and just scrolling. And I was like, oh, you did something with, like, BT or whatever, which is cool. But, like, I think my thinking on this started to shift more like earlier this year when I saw that Fire Festival documentary. Did you see that?
I have not seen it, but I've heard about it.
Okay, so the premise behind it was basically like they were throwing this big festival and promised to, you know, offer all these different things that were going to be like this luxurious trip on like this Caribbean island. And mm-hmm. you were going to have a music festival behind it.
Ja Rule.
And Ja Rule was involved with it. But I think the thing that really struck me most about it is what got all these people to like give up thousands and thousands of dollars to attend it mm-hmm. was like a whole bunch of social media influencers blasting, yeah. you know, effectively like their support for this. And I think, I don't know if it's out of this where it came like the hashtag ad thing or whatever that people have to put like on their Instagrams yeah. and stuff now. But I don't know. It just seemed weird to me that like, you know, all these people were backing something that was more or less just a concept. And because they had like such huge followings,
mm-hmm. people bought into it.
Yeah. So like, how do you balance opportunities that you take versus ones that you don't, and then like trying to maintain like who you are as a person, but still knowing that you have like droves of people that follow you on social media?
So, first and foremost, I hate this because it's the thing that like on my platform I try to combat, I guess.
Okay.
Social media is not real.
Right.
And we're all sort of guilty of it in the sense that we use social media to show our best versions of ourselves.
Right.
It's not very often that we share our truths. So for me, the platform has been a little different from me where I've made it intentional to share the not so pretty moments. Now, I will say that as much as I do share, I think boundaries is a very...
Right.
important thing. And so there are things that I keep sacred. But as far as my journey as an athlete, I share the downs as well as the ups. If I do get paid for an ad, yes, you do have to acknowledge that it's a sponsored or ad. I don't know if...
But it wasn't always that way.
It wasn't always that way. I can say that they've been doing that for the last 2 or 3 years. I want to say I remember having to do it since Rio. And it may be... I don't think it came about through the Fire Festival situation.
Yeah, I don't think it did either. I think that was just what kind of made me more aware of it.
Yes, it was situations like that, you know, prompted the FTC to...
Oh, that's like FTC driven.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was like that serious.
And if you're found to be promoting something that you're getting paid to do, without acknowledging that, like, mm-hmm. you're sponsored or you could get in a lot of trouble. I think there was like a fine or something.
There was somebody, I don't know why I want to say it was Floyd Mayweather, mm-hmm. but maybe it was somebody else. But there was somebody I think got popped for that. So now that makes more sense. Because I remember seeing like an alert for it some months ago and it didn't make as much sense to me then, but now that you're saying that.
No, you can get in a lot of trouble for that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay, I didn't know it was regulated like that.
You definitely have to acknowledge that you're being... Now, I think also it depends on how well-known you are, right?
Like, I don't have those problems. Well, you say little old you. That's what I'm over here... I'm trying to go to your page right now. You have 169,000 people following you.
Okay, and let me say that, too. Like, my followers are authentic. Like, I started from... Zero.
Oh, because there's like bots and
there's
stuff.
Bots, and there's you can people buy them. That buy. Yeah, I didn't do any of that crap.
Okay.
I will say that probably half of my following doubled in Rio, basically.
Really?
Yeah. So, like going into Rio, I probably had like 60,000 followers at that point. Okay. And I've been on Instagram since like 2000, whenever the app started, 2010.
Right. Okay.
So
it's been an organic growth.
Yeah, it's been an organic growth. And I can say that I don't promote things that I don't authentically love or genuinely use. But, I mean, I think, too, you have to, and I say this, and I'm like, a lot of my followers follow me. And again, talking about boundaries and stuff, people feel like they know me.
Right.
But in actuality, you don't really know me. You know the picture that I've created on social media.
Yeah.
But I think to some level, if you know who you're following, then you should also know what's kind of authentic and who's just, you know, collecting the checks.
That makes sense.
Versus, you know what I mean? Like, certain family with a K, you know.
They're not my favorite people in the world, so we don't have to talk about them.
Yeah. So, but.
But I get what you mean. I mean, there's a balance that you have to strike.
Right.
It couldn't be me. I mean, I have kind of shied away from social media probably in like the last year or so, but that's just been more like a personal choice. But now I'm trying to kind of get back into it a little bit just because I have like a podcast, so I have to, you know, kind of let people know about it. But
you
even then,
you gotta sell yourself. This generation,
see, I'm not good at that though.
And you, so you know that I'm an introvert. And so, like, this is, like, I don't like the look that you're giving me right now.
Well, I know. I think by the letter of it, like, if you take the test, I understand how you come out as an introvert. I also understand how you can be, like, introverted elsewhere. You're not introverted with me.
No, I'm not introverted with the people that know me.
Okay,
that makes sense. My close friends and family. But otherwise, put me in a room full of strangers, I'm going to stand in the corner by myself.
Okay. Okay. I can get you that.
So social media for me has been in a way, I hate to say this because I say this about trolls, like I do kind of get to hide behind my smartphone and put out whatever message it is that I'm trying to put out.
Right.
But when I do find myself in those social circles, like I literally have a pep talk before going in. Because I know I have to sell myself, you know? And not that I'm selling something that's not authentic, but, you know, by nature, I come home, close the blinds, turn the TV on, you know?
Okay, I'll give you that. But you be having long stories, bro. I don't be listening to half of the stuff you say. Like, when I am on Instagram and I see them, it'll be like, I'll look and I'll see a whole bunch of dashes, so I just kind of tap through them.
This is good to know.
You be like, cause you be like in the car talking about getting your coffee and getting practice going or something. I just, it's not a you thing. It's just, I have trouble like listening to long stories.
Well, and so that's number one.
But I'm not your target audience either.
Because our friendship is like, you need to know what you need to know from me. We talk about any and everything. What I have found in my following from my Instagram to my YouTube to because of what I do, the things that, and you being an athlete too, the things that seem like
the mundane they're interested
things
in.
Are the things that they're like, so how do you meal prep? How do I get faster? What do you do at practice? Okay. And I'm like,
so at least that in that respect, you're giving them like the full real of it.
Right.
Like I remember seeing one time where you were saying like out on, you know, when it comes to your races and stuff, you do try to like look pretty and all of that. But out on the practice field, like you're throwing up sometimes. And yeah. Okay. All right. So that helps it make a little bit more sense. Because I don't know. Sometimes I find myself like sitting back wondering what that would be like. And I guess to some degree, being fortunate that I don't have to worry about that aspect of things. I mean, there's, I guess, levels to all of it.
But see, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but
no,
that
fine.
Was just, that brings to light what I was trying to say earlier, where I'm like, I try to be authentic. What triggered that story in particular was I was on Instagram and I saw a workout video. And I'm looking at the workout and I'm like, I know I'm in damn good shape. And I know that is hard as hell.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I was like, you know what? I'm guilty of this too. I definitely post my best rep, my best, you know, my abs are popping in this one. My arms are ripped. You know what I mean?
I got you.
I was like, don't be fooled. Like, we're all out here. And that's the thing overall with my social media that like, yeah, I go out there and lay it all on the line and I do it looking pretty. That's my brand. But I think as athletes overall, I use the word superheroes. Like, kids look up to us.
And right.
They, you know, want to grow up to be this athlete. And it's like, but you didn't see the hours and hours and hours in the gym where it didn't look that pretty.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that's the part that I try to convey, or at least try to be authentic about, that, like, yeah, I try to make it look pretty most times, but the truth is, it ain't always like that.
Right. Right. Okay. All right, well, I guess I maybe need to give some of these influencers a break then.
Well, that's the thing, though. Some influencers aren't that. Like, it's just straight pretty.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's why, yeah, I just...
But it's, you know, as a consumer, what are you buying into?
Well, so I think really in where it's really shown up for me, like, so typically on my podcast, I do a lot of stuff about Texas football. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've noticed is, like, I've had to try to follow recruiting a little bit. And it is so different from, like, when I was getting recruited. That it's like, you know, these kids now, they're, like, tweeting out every time they meet with a coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so blessed to receive this offer. But, like, you know, they have no intent of going there. They just want the followers from that school.
Yeah.
And it's just, it all just rubs me the wrong way. It's kind of weird, but I mean, it's just, it's the new age of things. And right. So like coaches have had to adapt, like coaches use Twitter and Instagram to, you know, actually communicate with athletes, which to me just, I don't know. It just, it's so far from what we
do. What's
so
funny though is like, we were in school when social media started.
Right, but it wasn't, it was like, it was reserved for, like, you had to be in college.
Yeah, it wasn't used the way that it's used now. And so the thought of, like, what it is now, what that means for us now.
Yeah.
But then also thinking in the future of, like, when we have kids.
Yeah.
Like, what they're, like, nothing is sacred anymore.
Not at all.
And, like, everything from, I remember, and like you said, football and track recruiting was a little different.
But right.
There was no sharing, oh, I spoke to this coach, or, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like, it was kind of secretive.
It was, and there was some, like, excitement in it being so secretive, too, right?
Right.
Like, what school is she going to sign with? Who's recruiting
her? Yeah, and there
her?
Wasn't, like, 50 interviews that you had done already where people could connect the dots and read the tea leaves. It was kind of like a, you just kind of drop. I think I was right on the, like, cusp of when a lot of, like, the internet recruiting stuff started to take off. But even, like...
What was it back then? Rivals.com? That's
still
around, isn't
it?
It still
is. Rivals is still around. But the thing is, when I was there, like, you didn't have film that was on. Now these kids, like... They have film up of a camp they went to.
Yeah.
You know, they have film of their junior season, their senior year, like all this different stuff that goes into it. And so, I mean, it's become big business. I guess I like go back and forth on like how I feel about it at different times. And then at least in the way of recruiting, I'm kind of like the crotchety old man. Like, I just want people that like football and don't really want to talk to reporters. And but that's not like realistic.
It's not.
I don't know. All right, so what am I missing? You're planning a wedding? We got to talk about your wedding.
Oh, God.
I haven't talked to you about your wedding in a while.
Yeah.
So you're engaged.
I am engaged. Should I say his name?
I mean, he's not a secret, I would hope. Last I checked.
I am engaged to Super Bowl champion William Gay. Yeah. Have I told you we changed the date?
No, you haven't. So we can do this live.
Well, we've changed the date, but not officially. We don't, like...
Okay, well, maybe we shouldn't do that. We can talk about that off.
I mean, because we're venue shopping, so it's kind of like what's available now. So once we lock that in, which I think we have our venue, we have our wedding planner, we have our colors.
Where is it?
It's going to be in Austin.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Okay, because, like, y'all were talking about doing it in Miami, and I was thinking I was going to have to, like, save money for, like, a year.
Crazy things, and then I was like, you know what? 2020 is an Olympic year.
That makes me feel a lot better.
With the World Championships being in October, and then I have to be ready for the trials in June, and then the Olympic. Like, I have less than a year
right.
to get ready for the Olympics.
And then Will helps a lot. Like, he likes stuff like that.
He does help a lot. And thank God he's retired. Yeah. So, you know, he's available to help with a lot more now. But, I mean, it's still a wedding. It's still a pretty big deal to have the audacity to plan in the middle of a Olympic season. So.
So you're like spring 2020?
January.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's not too far away.
It's not.
It'll be here before
so
you know.
So we need to figure some stuff out. Okay. Like yesterday.
Well, I mean, you'll get there. But, I mean, are you enjoying the process of it so far?
I am. The money part isn't fun. Because it's like sitting back and you're like, ooh, wait, huh?
Yeah. You're basically paying for people to party.
Exactly.
Paying for people to eat and drink and party.
But, you know.
And I will eat and drink and party.
Yeah, we know.
I don't know how I feel about you saying that.
I mean, we all will.
Okay.
But, yeah. So, that's how that's going.
So, what else? What are we missing? What are your other business endeavors?
I also have a beauty line, Natasha Hastings Cosmetics. Right now, we currently sell mink lashes and matte lip gloss.
Tell me more about the mink part, because I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No. What is that? Is that like a mink coat?
It's like... Yeah, mink. Wow. You see, this is our friendship.
I mean, there's things that I pay attention to. You know, like, I kind of, I knew about...
my launch party and everything.
Well, I came, but I didn't know there was mink. And, I mean, I wasn't as focused on that. And then that was the day you got engaged, so...
Yeah, a lot happened that day.
True enough. But I think what really had... like fully tipped me off that you had the line. I mean, I knew, but then like my sister-in-law had hit me up saying she had bought some.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, okay. I guess like this is like for real, for real.
For real, for real.
So you have that. And then what was the other one?
Lipsticks. Yeah.
Okay. So this is all like, I mean, it's like you said, it's on brand with the stuff that you
make. Head to NatashaHastings.com /shop. I got to put the plug
I'll put
there.
It all in the little show notes and
put
stuff.
Put it in the description box.
Yeah, there you go.
That's YouTube talk. It'll all be down here in the description box.
You're supposed to have your own podcast.
We're working on that. Listen, Marcus, you know the new year hit me like
I understand. I'm just saying
smack in the face.
We haven't forgotten about you, so
and I'm trying
I think
to get my life together.
I think there's things that people would be interested in hearing you say.
Yeah.
In podcast form. And I mean, you don't have to do, I don't think you have to do a whole lot different. Like, I don't know how this one's going to go over because we're just kind of winging it. But I mean, we've already talked for 37 minutes and it doesn't feel like it. But
no.
I mean, it's kind of like doing a YouTube video just in audio format.
Yeah, it's just the content part that I'm like, what do I want to... This,
but how do you do the content for YouTube?
So, I don't know if you watched my story the other day where I don't consider myself a creative.
Okay.
But.
I know I don't consider myself one. That's why I've kind of got to where I have to do them like every 2 weeks.
Well, so that I'm in a space where I'm like, I don't even know where to go with my content right now. Like, I don't have, like, me saying it, I'm like, you sound like one of those people that like are really like, I just have no creative juices.
Oh, yeah.
I need to go on a retreat somewhere and get my mind right and just from everything from my YouTube to Instagram, even my Instagram feed has been kind of slow lately. Like,
right.
I'm just uninspired at the moment.
I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to like. You want to make sure that you're giving out quality content.
Quality content.
And
exactly.
If it's not like if that's not your kind of like your bread and butter, so to speak, like by trade, you run track. And
yes.
So.
And that's been hard for me to find the balance of like giving the people what they want. But it's like, first and foremost, I got to get this training in.
Right.
I got to compete. I got, I don't have like a camera crew following me around doing the production. It's me doing all of it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So that makes it a little bit difficult. And then it does kind of feel like, well, I've shown you guys all of this stuff. Like now I need to kind of remix it a little bit and, you know, and then I think too, knowing who my audience is, but then seeing also where my life is going, how I blend the two and bring the audience along or bring a new audience along. It's hard because I'm a 32-year-old woman getting married.
Yeah, you're old.
I almost cursed. I'm a 32-year-old woman getting married. I have 2, maybe 3 years left in my career.
Right.
And I am thinking about, you know, what's life after track, you know?
Yeah.
And
I think you're doing a lot, though. I mean, you're doing the right things to set yourself up. You know, I think one of the worst things, you know, you hate to see is, like, when athletes don't think that far ahead. I mean, beyond just the monetary aspect, right. You know, don't think about, like, what are they going to do? Because at some point, you're going to stop running on a track every single day, and then you have to find other things to fill your time.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that can be challenging. I struggle with it, probably still struggle with it some to this day, but definitely struggled with it, like, coming straight out of undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like, okay, I knew I had my degree, and I was always going to, like, get that. But then it was kind of like, now what? And so yeah. You just kind of, like, throw yourself into...
I kind of remember that.
Yeah. It was interesting times. But, I mean, such is life. You just try and kind of figure it out along the way. So what else? I guess we can pretty much wrap it up. What do we have coming up? We have a tea time event this weekend?
Yeah, we're doing one in Houston. I'm going to be at the Prairie View Relays. So you gave me that look like... Okay, so that's not quite Houston.
Okay. Well, when you said it at first, I started thinking...
I was like, what is that look for? Hold on.
When you said it, I started thinking about it, and then I was like, well, are we going to TSU? Or, but then, so it all kind of clicked. My bad. Let's try it again.
Okay. I'll be in Prairie View, Texas, this weekend, where we'll be doing a tea time. There will be... It's a track meet, Prairie View Relays. And so there'll be some high school girls competing. So I reached out to the coach and was like, hey, can I kind of put something on, talk to the girls while we're there? And she was like, absolutely. So we're doing that this Friday. What is that? April. Good Lord. March 23rd.
Saturday.
Is it Saturday? I thought we were doing it Friday.
We're doing this one Saturday. And then the one in Dallas is on a Friday. I think.
Are you sure?
I hope.
Oh, snap.
March 23rd is a Saturday.
March 23rd sure is, but maybe we have the dates wrong. It's definitely Friday. I'm looking at the text message now.
The 22nd?
Yeah.
Oh, that might be a problem.
Do we need to talk about some things offline?
Yeah. Y'all are hearing, this is a real deal, our friendship. This was less a podcast and more of like what we do on a pretty regular basis. Of just kind of talking, but I guess sometimes you like lose sight of all the things that like the people close to you have accomplished and done. So it was when I was trying to figure this out and I started looking at her bio, I was just like, damn, this is a lot. Like you've done a lot of cool stuff in your life and still are. So,
you know, what's interesting about that. And I know you're trying to wrap this up. I don't know half that stuff.
What do you mean?
Like, think about it. At the beginning, you were like, how many world champs did you make? And I had to be like...
Oh, you had to count them. Well, yeah, because you don't... I think as an athlete, you don't spend time like counting up your accolades while you're still gathering them or while you're still chasing them.
I kind of feel like it's almost sad. And I say it's sad because it was probably around 2015-ish. Where now we acknowledge that I've been running pro since 2007. Mm-hmm. It was probably somewhere around 2015-ish where I realized, like, oh my gosh, you've been doing this for so long, and what do you remember?
Yeah, I think you begin to appreciate it once you get away from it. Like, I'm 13 years removed now from college, and I'm just now starting to have a full appreciation of like some of the stuff we accomplished athletically. I mean, even though like, you know about the major stuff, but like at the time you're just kind of going through the grind of it. You're enjoying it with your teammates. You're in school, you're worried about all kinds of other ridiculous stuff.
But you don't
take
the time to like acknowledge that. Like I remember looking back and I'm like, I've been to some amazing places around the world. Right. I don't have any pictures, but a passport stamp to show for it.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Like, so when I got to Rio for the Olympics, like being in the village with Tyson Gay, Michael Tinsley, Mike Rogers, like, I made it a point, like, I'm going to cherish these moments with my friends. Like, it's not just about me competing on the track and going after these goals, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's good to do, too, because especially, like, as we get older, and I'm certainly not trying to take like, a dark turn with this, but I've talked on the podcast about my friend Ernest passing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was my age, you know, he's 33, 34. And you always think, like, tomorrow's promised. And I mean, it's just not. And him passing was really the first true like realization for that to me. It's something you're always conscious of,
right.
But like, it's not something that really fully registers. So, you know, I certainly do try to do a better job of like being in the moment right. with things and trying to enjoy stuff, not always being on my phone, that kind of stuff.
I'm still working on that part.
Yeah, well. Some things will just be what they are at times, like your phone going off in the middle of a podcast.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to do better.
It's okay. All right. Well, I think that's all I got. Thank you for being on. I'll have you on again sometime, hopefully.
Yeah, we should do this again. Let's do it during the football season so I could talk crap.
Something tells me that Texas will have better luck than South Carolina this year.
That's fine. Listen, we can talk trash back and forth.
That's fine. We got to have, I guess, your wedding planning goes along too. We should try and get Will on. That would be interesting.
Oh yeah,
I would want to hear y'all both.
We should. Oh yeah, you should have him on by yourself too, though.
But
yeah. We should do one together.
Yeah, I want to get one of the guys that is with the Texas. A couple of the guys at the Texas Rivals site are big Steelers fans, I had told them, you know, y'all were engaged and stuff, and they were like gushing. So
it's the stupidest thing. So one last story before we go. So we went to Dallas this weekend for the Conference USA tournament, and so Jason Terry was sitting a couple seats down from us mm-hmm. on the court side, and so Jason Terry recognized him, and he was like, "Man, I'm a big fan, da 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 da, or I'm a fan of the Steelers and you, whatever." And so I couldn't hear it for the rest of the night. Like, man, Jason Terry knew me. Like,
he has a point.
You know, I'm a star, da 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 da, whatever, whatever. So the next day, we go back for the finals, and Donald Grover.
Driver
was sitting.
For the Packers.
Yeah. Was sitting a couple seats from us. And so at the end now, they, of course, knew each other because they played against each other in the Super Bowl. And so he was like, "Is your fiance Natasha Hastings?"
Oh, God. So you try to one-up
him. He was like, man, I saw her walk up and I was like, I think that's her, but I'm not. Yeah, I know who she is. So it was like, all right, see. So he had to let him know, like, yeah, we have this back and forth thing, like, who's more well-known?
Y'all are ridiculous.
We're two athletes. We're always going to be competing.
Yeah, always. Well, that's cool. That's cool.
All right. Sorry. Wrap it up.
All right. We'll wrap it up. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Like I said, we'll definitely get you on again. We'll get Will on at some point. I didn't have any true Texas football stuff to talk about. A couple injuries and that kind of thing. But the guys only had a week's worth of practice and they're already on spring break right now. So next week or the week after, we'll probably have some more to talk about with respect to Texas football. Wanted to try something a little bit different, get one of my good friends on, allow her to kind of talk some about her career path and things she's been doing. And that's it. Thanks to the guys at the Yak. Appreciate you for, continuing to give them the platform to do this. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on, you know, all the different social media avenues. I'll try to check them when I can. I'll make sure I put all of Natasha's information in the show notes. And yeah, that's it. This has been, episode number 21 of the Until the Whistle podcast. Again, I'm your host, Marcus Myers, and catch you the next time the whistle blows.